Let's turn in our Bibles to the chapter of God's Word which we read in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. And I would like to read again verses 5 to 8, concentrating probably on verse 8. The book of Genesis, chapter 6, at verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heaven, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It has been said that the word but is one of the most important words in the whole of the Bible. You know that famous statement in Ephesians, we were all children, we're all by nature children of wrath, just as others, but God, who is rich in mercy. And we read again concerning the disobedience. But they stumble being disobedient to the word. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people. How important that word but is. And here we have the same sort of thing. But Noah, having read of the decadence, the serious plight of the whole world, we still find it read. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. We find ourselves saying from time to time, don't we? You can't possibly live a holy life in today's world. Evil and wickedness is so rampant. How is it possible to live a holy life in today's world? But if men were always wicked, God was always gracious. And that's what we learn from the passage that is before us. Men were always wicked, but God was always gracious. As we concentrate on Noah finding favor in the eyes of the Lord, well, first of all, look at the background. Look at the world in which he lived. Look at the awful indictment of verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that, listen to this indictment, every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is some indictment against the human race, isn't it? The whole race of human beings, every intention of the thoughts of the heart. It's not just the odd thing breaking out. Every intention of the thoughts of the heart are only evil. Continue. Think of that. Only evil continually. D. Do you think you're not a bad person?
Well,
not in relation to others. What does God say? The Lord saw. It's how the Lord sees. That's what's so important. Not what's your opinion, not what's my opinion, not what's the church's opinion. What is God's opinion? What does God think of us? Every intention of the thoughts of the heart, only evil, continually. You could have a sermon on every one of these words. This is the nature Noah was born with. And it's the nature I was born with. And it's the nature you were born with. What an indictment against us is got this statement in verse 5. And just 2 pages back. Maybe in some of your Bibles it might only be 1 page back. You read that mankind was made in the image of God. And now, God is sorry he made man. He depraved himself so seriously. There's the awful indictment of verse 5 as we look at the background. But there's also the terrible condition of society. Verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight. There we have it again. God's eyes, in God's sight. The earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. That's the ethos. That's a background to Noah finding favor with God. These people, the earth, they sinned openly. One thing to sin in secret, but society then sinned openly. Not only did they sin openly, but they sinned openly, shamelessly. They were not ashamed of it. They weren't embarrassed. They had this despicable lifestyle, and they weren't ashamed. Not even ashamed. They sinned openly. They sinned shamelessly. They sinned resolutely. They sinned boldly, without fear. That's the kind of age it was. That's the type of society it was. Bold. Shameless, resolute. Don't you dare say we're doing wrong. The nature of their sin, well, we read it there, violent. Crime, depravity, corruption. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them, because, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And perhaps even worst of all, their situation, their sin, they were rapidly escalating in wickedness. You know, sin never stands alone. It's like a fire seeking more to burn. It's like trying to keep water in a wooden box. It seeps out of the joints, always seeking to go further. The Bible tells us that is the way we are now by nature. Coming out of the womb, that's the type of hearts we all are born with. And it was no different in Noah's age. And we read elsewhere that Noah alone, was the only one who walked before God. But there's also the frightening pronouncement of judgment in verse 7. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the earth, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. The behavior of the human race caused God sorrow, grief, and regret. Can we say, for the first time, God was sad, grieved, distressed. For 1,500 years approximately, those who study these things tell us that's roughly what it was, God was long-suffering. But you know, we must not confuse long-suffering for all suffering. God can be provoked to anger. Verse 7, which we've just read, the Lord said, I'll blot out man whom I've created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. Did you note what was to be blotted out as well as humankind? Humankind brought the curse into the universe, but it affected the animals. It affected the birds of the air. Creeping things suffer because of mankind, humankind's sin. C.H. Spurgeon said, no wonder the lion barks when he sees a human being. No wonder the lion roars when he sees a human being. Yea, he says, no wonder the dog barks when he sees human beings. We've made them suffer. Our sin, our disobedience to our Maker affected the animals as well as the creation. That's the context then to our verse. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. But now there was a fearful indictment and the terrible condition and the frightening pronouncement of judgment. But you know, God never brings judgment without three things. And they all begin with the letter W. God will sometimes be provoked to bring judgment. But God never brings judgment without first warning. He warns, he will bring judgment. The second W is this. As well as warning, God waits. He seldom instantly brings the judgment. He may instantly pronounce judgment, but he waits. He waits to see if man will change his mind, if man will change his way. He waits to see if any will repent, if any will turn and seek God. It's God's way to warn first, and then to wait. But there's a third W. God never judges without weeping. And we have it here. I'm sorry. I'm brokenhearted. But he's holy. And he must keep his word. He must. He can't break his word. He has promised. He has warned. He has waited. And now he's weeping. He takes no delight in the death of the wicked. No delight. He does not enjoy it. But because he's holy, Because he's holy, he must. He must. There's 100 to 120 years God waited before the ark. You can work it out reading it carefully. Took 100 to 120 years to build. And every hammer, every blow of the hammer putting these rough nails in the ark was a warning from God. There's a judgment coming. Well, that's the context. How many people did Noah get into the ark with him? The New Testament calls him a preacher of righteousness. How successful was he? How successful was he? Who did he get to go into the ark with him? Only his family. Would you call a minister? You say, now, what kind of ministry did he have? How fruitful was his ministry? Oh, no one, no members but his own family. Would you call him? Would you call him? God said, faithful preacher of righteousness. Noah found grace. But Noah, despite the decadence of the age, despite no one else but himself and his family, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was born in an evil generation with a sinful heart like you, like me, born, as it were, under judgment, but he found favor or grace. Same word. Sometimes translated grace, sometimes translated favor. He found grace. The idea is this. He was given grace. My friend, you cannot earn grace. You cannot work for grace. By definition, grace means undeserved favor, undeserved kindness. The moment you begin to think or begin to say, they're worth it, they deserve it, at that moment, you're talking about justice. If you deserve to be forgiven, that's justice. Whatever you do, do not ask God for judgment, for justice. I cringe when you hear and you see in the 10 o'clock news these court cases and coming out. All we're asking for is justice. I cringe when I hear that. Never ask for justice before an all-seeing God, when every intention of the thoughts of the heart are scrutinized by God. Don't ask for justice from God. But whatever you do, ask for grace. Ask for mercy. Ask for blessing. That's free. You don't deserve it. That's the qualification. Very few of us believe that the first time we hear it. The qualification for the grace of God is that you don't deserve it. You're not worthy. You shouldn't get it. That's a qualification. That's the definition of grace. God gives grace. Isn't that wonderful? The moment God is obliged to show that person mercy, it's no longer grace. It's no longer grace if he deserves it. If God is under obligation to do something, it's justice. Thanks be to God. The gospel is not about justice. The gospel is about undeserved mercy, undeserved kindness. So if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you cannot say, but I don't deserve it. You jolly well don't. And neither do I, and neither do any of your elders. None of us deserve it. That's the qualification. You take God at his word. Now, Noah walked with God, we read. Enoch walked with God, do you remember? You can only walk with God by faith. By faith, Enoch walked with God, and he was not. You can only walk with God by being obedient to God, by being in agreement with God, and by trust in God. Do we obey? Do we agree? Do we trust? Do we trust? Can we trust in his mercy? There's no hope of reaching the standard required when it is for every intention of the thoughts of the heart. No hope of reaching that standard. But there is a hope of getting to heaven through grace, through faith, by believing. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. As we've indicated already, the eyes of the Lord. The same eyes that penetrate to every intention of the thoughts of the heart. The eyes that penetrate, seeing your very thoughts, what you would do if you would get off with it. These eyes, that's the only eyes that matter. That's the only eyes that are important. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The question is, do we see things the way God's eyes see things? For example, do we see his son as God sees him? Have you ever explained the gospel to someone and you pointed out Christ to them, his sacrifice, and just trusting in him to believe on him, and they reply to you, I'm looking for more than that. I need more than that. That's a rejection of Christ. That's not seeing Christ the way God sees Christ. We're to have favor. We're to see things the way God sees them. God sees his Son as the complete, satisfactory sacrifice for other people's sins. Do you see Christ the way God the Father sees Christ? The Bible tells us when we shall see him in our natural condition, we see nothing in him. And yet he's the fairest among 10,000. The altogether lovely one. And yet there's no beauty in him that we would desire him. As we see him with our natural eyes, we need our eyes opened so that we can behold the beauty of the Lamb, the beauty of Christ, that we might see him. Do we see God's promises as God sees them? God makes promises. He said, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you believe that? Really? Do you really believe it? Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's God. That's the Bible. And he's put it in writing. And you and I need to put our trust, see the promises as God sees them. It's his eyes that are important. What does he see? We are immediately to look to Christ and be well pleased with Jesus. Now, how can we be seen, you and I, today in the 21st century? How can we be seen righteous in God's eyes? Well, as we said already, only in Christ. Only by faith in Christ. You remember, well, Hebrews chapter 11. The word faith is only twice in the whole of the Old Testament. To the extent that some people said, oh, you know, you didn't, it wasn't by faith you got to heaven in the Old Testament. Well, that's not what Hebrews chapter 11 tells us. It tells us by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith Noah, by faith Jacob. They did everything by faith. If the word faith is only twice, the concept of faith pervades the whole of the Old Testament. You remember, the Bible says, there in the Old Testament, that wonderful account of in Exodus, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You remember the story of the Exodus? They were to slay a lamb and take the blood and put it in the brushes they had in these days with hyssop, a bush, and they would sprinkle it on the two side posts and on the door. And that night in Egypt, when the angel of death went through to kill the firstborn in every household, he would come to a house and he would see the red paint, as it were, the blood painted on the two side posts and on the lintel. And he would say, well, I must pass by. I can't slay anyone in this house. Isn't it interesting? What happens if somebody said, yeah, wait a minute, there's Egyptians in that house. This curse, this judgment's on the Egyptians. An Egyptian has gone into that house. You better deal with it. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. My friend, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. If Christ is precious to you, God says, when I see the blood of my son, when I see the death of my son is precious in your eyes, I will pass over you, no matter what. No matter what. And by the way, do you know that there were some Egyptians in these houses? Do you know that some Egyptians did come out with the children of Israel? They were spared. You get that from Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, along with Leviticus 24, verse 10. A mixed multitude went up, and you see in Leviticus 24 speaking about the son of an Egyptian. There were Egyptians in these houses, and they escaped. They went with a mixed multitude. Your background doesn't matter. Your condition doesn't matter. Your age doesn't matter. Your sins doesn't matter. When God sees the blood, he will pass over you. When God sees that Christ is precious to you, he'll pass you by. The judgment has already been paid in Christ on the cross. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that wonderful? Well, our time's up. One last question, as it were. When do you think all this began? How did all this begin? Well, I trace it to the previous page, chapter 4, verse 26. The last verse of chapter 4. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. My friend, that's how it begins. That's how it starts. Calling on the name of the Lord. And you see the context again. What's the context of chapter 4? Lamech. Boasting he'd killed a man. Boasting. He wasn't ashamed. He was proud. He was challenging God, as it were. Then, the Authorized Version has, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. This version is quite accurate. At that time. Men were always wicked. But listen, God was always gracious. God was always merciful. When he called his name Enoch at that time, Enoch means mortal man. I remember hearing many years ago somebody who studied these things, and he said it could actually put down to this, that Enoch means incurable. And when we come to this stage that we acknowledge that we are incurable, we are sinners and we cannot cure ourselves, then we begin to call on the name of the Lord. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. May God the Holy Spirit make his word, his truth, effectual to every one of us. Let's bow our heads.